2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome on in, Cougar Tracks Podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your BYU insider, Mitch Harper, and happy to have you on board to the podcast. Once again, if you haven't done so already, stop what you're doing, unless you're driving, stop what you're doing and subscribe to the podcast. Get it on Apple, Google Play, Spotify. And if you subscribe, I'd recommend also leaving a 5-star rating and a review because that helps out me, helps out the show, and we appreciate that as we kind of ramp things up and we're counting down the days to BYU football. Podcasts are going to be coming hot and heavy on your podcast feed, so be on the lookout for all Cougar Tracks content in the coming days as we lead up to college football season starting, which I continue to believe that college football will start on time. Here's what we got on tap for today's podcast. Where would BYU land if the Power Five separated from the Group of Five? Where would BYU land in that situation? Because there was an interesting article from Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports discussing this, and it got me thinking, like, where would BYU be in that mix? I'll share my thoughts on that. Also, another CBS Sports article, BYU checks in the latest top 130 rankings with CBS. I'll tell you where the Cougars are at in the rankings, and then also 98 days till kickoff, we spotlight BYU defensive lineman Gabe Summers, who, if you're not familiar with Gabe, you should probably start to get familiar. He's a young guy, but he's going to be someone that's rising up the depth chart very soon. He's been showing flashes the past year and a half or so in the BYU football program, so we'll profile Gabe Summers as well. But we'll start things off with the Power Five conferences. This pandemic has highlighted more than ever before the NCAA has no power, and that's noted in Dennis Dodd's article on CBSSports.com, which, really good piece. Always enjoy Dennis Dodd. He's a great interview on the radio. I've had him booked him for a few radio shows and also interviewed him in the past. He's really good. He's been covering college football for a long time. But he put out a piece that says why we may be reaching a tipping point for the Power Five to break away from the FBS. And this has been something that has been discussed for a long period of time. And Dennis Dodd reached out to University of Utah economist Ted Tatos and was asked if a second consecutive NCAA tournament was canceled potentially due to the pandemic, what would happen? And the economist from the University of Utah said there has to be a breakaway from this current model that we're in. So it's kind of a hypothetical scenario, but it got me thinking, if the Power Five conferences broke away from the rest of the FBS, the Group of Five, basically, where would BYU land in this? My first reaction would be BYU somehow would find a way to be in the Power Five, right? Wouldn't they? I would think. Because you look at it, the Power Five conferences view BYU as a Power Five team in regards to scheduling. they also view Army that same way. But I think BYU has enough clout, has enough cachet that they could add value to the Power 5 conferences. Will we get to a point in college football where we see this happen? I think we do. Is it going to be in the near future? Maybe another 10 years or so, but I think this is eventually going to be this is eventually going to happen. And I've often thought, because BYU and the Big 12, I don't feel like the Big 12 is ever going to happen again. I don't think BYU is ever going to be in the Big 12. And I think all Cougar fans listening to this have, I mean, I'm assuming, I don't know, you can tweet at me, at @Mitch_Harp, or share your thoughts. But I kind of feel like all Cougar fans have kind of conceded on that. The Big 12, it's gone. It's not happening. My thought when it comes to conferences is that maybe the Pac-12 comes to their senses one day and realizes, hey, BYU financially would be good for business. You talk about attendance at games, whether it be football or men's basketball, BYU is going to bring butts in the seats. You can't tell me the West Coast Conference hasn't seen a huge boom with attendance because of BYU. They have. Any BYU basketball game on the road, Cougar fans are packing the house of these high school-sized gyms. Imagine that at Pauley Pavilion. Imagine that at the Galen Center. Imagine that at the LA Memorial Coliseum. So to me, and I know it sounds crazy because the Pac-12 has kind of always made it clear that they would never consider a BYU because of their political views and whatnot, but that to me is the one league that I feel like maybe, if realignment happened, maybe BYU finds their way in. Big 12, I've given up on that ship. Every time I listen to Bob Bowlesby, I meet that guy with a skosh of skepticism. I'm just not buying the full thing that he's saying, because we all saw what happened with conference realignment. But I digress. So the Power 5, if they separated from the rest of college football, I think BYU would be in the Power 5. And I do think, though, this pandemic, and I've said this on previous episodes of the podcast, this pandemic is going to highlight BYU is a profitable institution, is an institution that runs their organization at a very high level compared to most schools. The whole system, I mean, a lot of these athletic departments, a lot of these universities, they're going broke because of this pandemic. They're going broke. BYU reportedly turned away $32 million from funding assistance during this pandemic because they're like, we're good. Give that to other resources. Give that to other entities. So BYU's doing okay. BYU is fine. And I think that this has got to be the goal for BYU, that they are doing everything they humanly possibly can, if that even makes sense, that they could possibly do to position themselves to be in the Power 5 structure as an independent alongside Notre Dame. That is it. They need to be making every move they can right now. And this should have been happening for the last few years. But if it hasn't happened, they got to be doing it right now. They have to be planning every single day for the possibility of the Power 5 breaking away. Because if BYU was left behind in that scenario, man, I'll tell you, BYU would still have fans. They would still have fans that support the program through thick and thin. That's never going to go away. But to the level and to the commitment and the financial commitment that I think maybe the school has expected from fans over the years, that wouldn't be coming at the same level if you're not in the Power 5 structure. So I think this is eventually going to happen, because we're seeing the discrepancy even greater now with this pandemic. Small schools are cutting sports left and right. Not all of them. I mean, some are still doing okay. But you're looking at programs in the MAC. They're just getting gouged left and right. They're canceling, or they're lowering the number of teams that are going to be in their conference basketball tournaments next March. They're doing all these cost-cutting measures left and right, whereas the Power 5, for the most part, they're okay because they still have enough of a cash fund that they can dip into and not have to cut things and whatnot. They spend a lot of money, but they still also have enough money to keep them afloat. So it's showing the separation at a greater level. BYU has to position themselves and do everything they can to be in a spot where the Power 5 will bring them along for the ride. And it's interesting, too, in the article by Dennis Dodd, he also brings up the American Athletic Conference. The AAC, which of course labels themselves as the Power 6, the six-power conference, would they be brought along as well? If there's one league outside the Power 5 structure, it's them. Sorry, Mountain West Conference, it's not you. Look, I saw the Mountain West Conference firsthand at the basketball tournament and last March, and I remember the heyday of the Mountain West Conference basketball tournaments. I remember Mountain West basketball from its inception back in 1999, and I followed every step of it, every step of the way. And I went to a lot of conference basketball tournaments in my day. That was the least attended Mountain West Conference basketball tournament I've ever seen. And attendance in Mountain West Conference basketball continues to dip every single year since BYU, Utah, and TCU left the league. So the Mountain West is not trending up. AAC's got some promise, got some hope. Houston looks to me like a Power 5 program. UCF is a Power 5 type of program. You put those teams in leagues in the Power 5 or in a 68 Power 5 college football structure where they're all rotating and playing one another, they'd be competitive. Same with BYU. BYU would be competitive. Would BYU be a juggernaut and win 10 games a year? No, not saying that, but they'd be competitive, and they'd be good for eyeballs on TV. And the thing is, too, you get BYU in the Power 5 structures playing this hypothetical game we're looking at here. If BYU was in a Power 5 league in terms of just 68 or so Power 5 programs, round robin playing each other through a 10-year cycle or whatever it may be, BYU fans would be as committed as they've ever been as fans. That's what BYU fans have been dreaming for forever, for decades. And the eyeballs on BYU football games would be off the charts. It wouldn't be Ohio State or Notre Dame level, but I'll tell you what, there would be a lot of viewers every single game. ESPN gets viewership when BYU plays New Mexico State in late November. You mean to tell me they play Houston in a Power 5 league where you know every game matters and you got a chance to play in a New Year's Six or you got a chance to play in a college football playoff? BYU fans would be off the charts invested, even more so than they already are. So it would be huge for BYU. And I think this is the direction college football is going to eventually go. I really do. When we see the end of the TV deals, which is coming up very soon, what, 2024? 4 or 5 years from now, maybe that's the shift we start to see. And every move BYU makes has to be with this thought process in mind that some seismic shift like this could potentially happen. Again, it's all hypothetical, and you can see the whole article on CBSSports.com by Dennis Dodd. And again, it's a really good read, and that's why I bring it up. But the NCAA, their relevancy is fading. They have no power over the Power 5 conferences. They have none. They have no authority over any of them. They run a good basketball tournament, but they have no authority over college football. None. None at all. And the NCAA model, it's a joke. It's flawed, and it would be great for even BYU and for every college program everywhere to get away from the NCAA. How great would it be to think last year BYU doesn't have to go through 9 games without Yoli Childs if they're not in the NCAA. They're in another type of organization or league. That'd be great. It'd be fantastic. That's eventually, I think, going to happen potentially. And this pandemic is highlighting how big the gap is. And there's only a few that are making money and still profitable, and one of them is BYU. And I think that can show BYU's power, can show BYU's success, how financially and fiscally smart they are, and then you bring along the fan base and literally ignite this thing to a level that you've never seen. And the thing is that recruiting in this scenario would be a breeze. BYU would get tons of great recruits if they were in a Power 5 structure. Again, I don't think it's ever going to be a conference. I really don't. I really don't think there's ever going to be a day where BYU gets invited to a conference, Big 12, Pac-12. I just don't see it happening. Holding out hope for maybe one day the Pac-12, but again, I don't see it happening. This has to be the hope. They've shown they can operate as an independent. They've shown they can schedule as an independent. Somehow getting into this mix, this hypothetical mix of the Power 5 structure, breaking away from the NCAA, this has to be BYU's goal if this ever happens. And I think they got to honestly make moves necessary to make it happen and assume that it potentially is going to go this direction, because I don't think it's far-fetched to think that the Power 5 could one day break away from the NCAA and break away from Group of Five football as well. I just really don't. Because the TV money, everything that's involved with Power Five football, they drive the sport. Look, as much as I love watching a Maction game, as much as I enjoy watching the Raging Cajuns, I'll push that to the side to watch high-level SEC, Big Ten, Big 12, ACC, Notre Dame. I'm watching that any day of the week before I'm watching the Group of Five. So, there you go. You can read the full story at CBSSports.com. Dennis Dodd, I think BYU finds a way to get it in. I think they do. That's got to be their only hope. That if they're ever going to be in the power structure, that is the ticket for BYU to one day get in. Same with CBS Sports. They've been kind of a popular site this past day or so. They released their updated top 130 rankings, and I got to say they were kind of odd. And I think they just continued off the rankings they had from the end of last season. They just kind of continued on. But here's the rankings. BYU checks in at number 54. I think that's fair. Coming off 2-7-6 seasons, 54 is about right. Utah, number 15, Michigan State, 52, Arizona State, 41, Minnesota, number 12, Utah State, 57, Missouri, 70, Houston, 91, Northern Illinois, 106, Boise State, 22, San Diego State, 40, and then here's a shocker, Stanford, 96. Now, again, I think it's a carryover from last year's rankings because Stanford was 4-8 a season ago, but still, it shows that a lot of these games, BYU will probably be viewed as underdogs in. I think BYU is better than Michigan State, but first four games, BYU is ranked lower than those four Power 5 teams. They're ranked lower than Boise State and San Diego State as well. So that's six out of the 11 FBS teams, BYU is ranked lower than in CBS Sports' rankings. Got to take a break, though. On the other side, we'll get to the countdown. Number 98, jersey number 98, is we're 98 days till kickoff. Gabe Summers' profile coming up next here on Cougar Tracks Podcast, powered by KSLSports.com.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is number one champion sound. Yeah, Estelle, we about to get down. Who the hottest in the world right now? Just touch down.
All right, welcome back in Cougar Tracks Podcast. 98 days till kickoff as BYU counts down the days till they take on the University of Utah football team. We're going to be counting down throughout the offseason here on KSLSports.com and the Cougar Tracks podcast. I'm also, along with doing this podcast, I'm making some snippets, little like 30-second videos on my personal Twitter and Instagram, at Mitch_Harper on Twitter, Mitch Harper KSL on Instagram. But I'm doing some videos there as well, so kind of get you ready for the football season and profile every player, because I don't feel like there's any other guy in or woman in the BYU media that follows the roster as closely as I do. I'm not trying to brag or anything like that, but I follow this thing extensively all throughout the year, every single day. I'm following the roster, the player, the personnel. I love it. It's one of my favorite things about covering college football is personnel movements and seeing the kind of like the growth and the stories of these players when they arrive to BYU, what they can potentially be at BYU. And number 98 for the Cougars, as we're 98 days till kickoff, is defensive lineman Gabe Summers. And Gabe Summers is an interesting study. He's a walk-on, going to be very close to getting a scholarship in the near future, I would expect, because he's someone that is viewed in high regard by Kalani Sitake and Elisa Tuiaki. 6'2", 275-pound sophomore out of Saratoga Springs, Utah. Played at Westlake High School, member of the class of 2016. Gabe Summers added in the offseason. At the end of last year, he gained 12 pounds, so he actually added an extra some weight mass to his body. But last year, at the end of the season, you saw some flashes from Gabe Summers. He played in the last six games of the season, and one of the big plays for me for Summers was in that Utah State game where I really started to notice his potential as far as like he could be a guy that's in the rotation. Because up until that point, he was very nondescript. I think he got some action against Boise State, but really didn't play at all. He was someone last year, I should note, last year in spring ball back in 2019 and then in fall camp, he was one of the dudes that every single day was standing out in practice. I kid you not. Every time there was media availability in spring ball and in fall camp, he was one of the best defensive linemen in terms of creating pressure and getting the quarterback. Now, a lot of the times, he was going up against, at best, the second string units. But still, I thought it was notable coming from a walk-on freshman, redshirt freshman, walk-on, to be one of the best players out on the field, at least on the defensive line, in those groupings. Because he was a name that kind of came out of nowhere and became kind of a thing during spring and fall camp. So, but then he didn't really play much, and you kind of expect that. Like some guys that are the stars or whatnot of camp doesn't necessarily always translate to being on the field. Because again, you're not always competing against the ones, you're competing against second and third string guys. And that was the case with Gabe Summers, but you knew that there was potential. You knew that there was promise. And then you saw it against Utah State when he had a huge hit on Jordan Love. And Jordan Love coughed up the football. Isaiah Kafusi scooped it up and ran in for a touchdown. It was moments like that that was kind of like, okay, that's a breakthrough for Gabe Summers. And then you saw him play the rest of the season. He had two tackles against Liberty. He had a tackle against Idaho State. Three tackles against UMass. And then a tackle in the Hawaii Bowl against Hawaii. So Summers is someone that I think you should definitely keep an eye on for BYU. Will he be a two-deep guy? I'm going to say that he is. I think he will be a two-deep guy at defensive end, and he could be someone that you see, you know, three down fronts. He primarily played a lot of his snaps last year in three down fronts. So when BYU's got three linemen in the trenches, you could see him playing some of the defensive end spots alongside Antunaisa Mahe. They're going to utilize Gabe Summers. And even Elisa Tuiaki said in a recent Zoom call that Gabe Summers will be a factor along the defensive line for BYU, because that's an area where you do want to rotate guys. You want to keep the bodies fresh. You want to have your core, your guys that you know every single week are going to start, but you got to keep those bodies fresh in the trenches. They get beat up, and Gabe Summers will be one of those guys that gives Lorenzo Fawatea a breather or two. Kind of like Lorenzo Fawatea, he could play both in the interior and the defensive end spot because he's added that additional 12 pounds. He's the son, Gabe Summers is, to former BYU defensive lineman Hiram Summers, who played at BYU from 1996 to 1998. So keep an eye on Gabe Summers. I'm very excited to see what his growth will look like this year in kind of year two of actually having an opportunity to play, because I think now he's gaining the trust of Elisa Tuiaki, and don't be surprised if there's games where Gabe Summers is making a difference in the trenches for BYU along that defensive line. That's going to do it for this episode of the Cougar Tracks podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. You can subscribe to the show, like I said earlier, on Apple, Google Play, Spotify. Please leave that 5-star rating and review, and you can check out all the podcasts, if you've missed any, on kslsports.com. Coming up tomorrow, we'll have an interview with Kalani Sitake. Myself and Matt Biamonte of KSL News Radio, we interviewed the head coach of the Cougars, talking about what the return to voluntary workouts will look like for members of his BYU football team starting up on Monday. So you'll hear that interview tomorrow here on the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by kslsports.com.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.